And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 40, believe it or not. It's hard to believe. We're up, getting up there.
I'm still older than the show, though. It's okay.
This is Avengers vs. X-Men Battle Report number 3. I am Chris Mosby.
And I'm Caleb Gerard.
And this week we'll be missing Murray. He's having internet and phone issues, but couldn't join us today. So,
I thought he was fighting Kitty Pryde.
Oh, well, he might be. I'm not sure. So,
or maybe he's fighting Maggot.
Yeah, there you go. So, okay, we're back to let's see. We're back to talking about Avengers versus X-Men, and if we run out of stuff to talk about, we'll throw in some other things that we have read here and there, and Free Comic Book Day, and all that good stuff.
Cool.
Okay. Here we go. It's been a while since we've done one, so we've been struggling to figure out what exactly we have talked about. I should actually maybe keep a list of that. I'll try to figure that out. I'll have to listen to those episodes again. We'll start off with with Versus, which is Marvel's. We got so many people that need to fight. We'll put it in another limited series book. That's what I'm going to call it. So basically, and it kind of sort of ties in. You know, you get your. I missed that in the front. Let's see. What is this book? And we'll just use the questions. We'll explain it for you.
This is first of all, I actually think this is clever. This little introduction that they did to it.
Yeah, I missed that the first time.
It is clever, and it's not altogether accurate, but at the same time, it does fulfill its role. So I will sit back and enjoy the lilting tones of Chris Mosby reading.
All right, there's a little question and answer session on the first page of the book, the title page, and it says, what is this book? And the answer is, it's Versus number 1, the fightingest book you've ever read.
Rootin', tootin', fightingest.
Yeah, where we take fights from Avengers versus X-Men and expand them into all-out smash-ups. Read Money Grab. Avengers versus X-Men, isn't that the comic book event of the year? Answer, sure, it sure is. Oh god, who wrote this? Question. So this is part of a big event book that is centerpiece of the Marvel Universe with continued connectivity to all corners of the superhero world. Answer, nope, this is a book about awesome brawling. You want plot? Look elsewhere, chum. Well, at least they tell you right ahead in front. You want to knock down, drag out, whooping? We got you covered. When did these take place? Right smack in the middle of Avengers versus X-Men number 2. Now, see, I missed that. That would have made a little bit more sense. What happens?
We got your fighting. We got your rooting, tooting.
The question, what happens in this issue? Answer, what are you, dits? Go buy it if you want to know. This is about fights. Question, I think it gets you. Good. Okay, so that tells you right there, and you got – the Invincible Iron Man versus Magneto, written by Jason Aaron, Adam Kubert, and others, and then The Thing versus Namor, Catherine Immonen and Stuart Immonen. Good to see them going. Catherine Immonen, writer, Stuart Immonen, pencils. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wade Von Grawbadger doing inks. I had to just say that because that's like a really cool name. Raw bad.
I think that was a supporting character in the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, that's what you. This is it. This is what you're seeing here. And we'll tell you right now, you could totally skip this and not miss any of the Avengers versus X-Men goodness, for lack of a better term. Here, because that's exactly what this is. It has nothing to do with the plot. These characters, you see them face off a little bit, in these books, and they just take, oh, well, there's two characters that in one panel fought, so let's make a whole, like, 8-10-page story about it and charge $4. Well, there's two, excuse me. But anyway.
And I'm actually, okay, one of my complaints with number one, and I think I mentioned on the show, is that Iron Man all of a sudden keeps popping up in different places throughout the issue, and actually, if it plugging this into there, it's like, oh, okay, that's how he got from here to fighting the White Queen. It was sort of like, wait a minute, wasn't he just like two panels ago?
Yeah, which I don't even think they're thinking that far ahead. So,
well, I'm thinking they are. To be honest with you, I'm thinking that's exactly because they've got nitpicky a-holes like me looking at it, going, wait a minute, wasn't he just in on the other side of the island a panel ago?
Mm-hmm.
And that's. I don't know. I think that's their goal here is to be able to have anybody anywhere in the book and be able to say, well, they were just off fighting Sunspot, you know.
Yeah. And now, not that there's some cool scenes in here, but I tell you, the thing that annoyed me, and I, like I said that on the Facebook group, of course, you know, that comment might have got deleted. Anyway. Yeah. These little, I got AVX fun fact. Hold on. Nope. Hey. Nope. Damn dog's trying to get shit out of the trash. Trying to get my attention. Excuse my language there, people. Damn dog.
Okay.
Get out of here, dog.
I remember that scene where the dogs were trying to pull the shit out of the trash.
Anyway. Well, there should be one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was Wolfsbane versus Ms. Marvel, right?
Yeah, there you go. AVX fun fact, and they got these little things in here, you know, from Jupiter's distance from Earth varies from 309 million miles to 576 million miles, which, you know, it kind of comes from the story, you know, because Iron Man uses some satellites, and you got, you know, in the other match, thing is used as a projectile against a helicarrier, and he says that's going to be expensive. And AVX fun fact, this helicopter repair will cost $3,200,067. I mean, there's little things like that, and some of them are just really silly, and it was starting to insult my intelligence just a little bit. And I guess that the whole thing is I was taking this book too seriously, which they obviously don't take themselves seriously at all. So... what did you think of it?
I actually thought it was fun. I like, you know, when shit blows up.
If I had read that first thing, I just jumped right into it. I might have been a little less anal about it, I guess you could say. To be completely frank.
No, it's just, you know, it's a basically shut your brain off. They could have done the whole issue without dialogue and it would have been just fine. Cause that's, I mean, they say at the point, it's just, you know, we're going to blow stuff up. I mean, so what's the point of dialogue, to be honest with you? Those little factoids, little flash facts or whatever they're calling them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was overdone.
Oh, wait.
It was clever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was clever. But there were too many of them. And that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But your opinion was that there was way too many of them.
So. Well, some of them were interesting, but they really didn't add anything to it, you know.
Well, that's where I'm my skepticism about how important this series is going to be by the end. I think that there's going to be something in this series by the end of it that's going to have importance. I don't know, you know, I don't know what, I don't know.
Well, they say right in the thing that it's not going to have any of none. It's just, we're just all about fights.
I'm a skeptic.
You think they're trying to fool us?
No, I think that they're going to get to the end of it. They're going to say, oh, what, you didn't read Avengers versus X-Men 5? Well, that was an important issue. You know, if you'd read that, you wouldn't feel so out of the loop right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they're going to pull... That kind of, sort of like when the whole thing when Wonder Woman killed Max Lord. Well, you don't need this particular, you don't need anything outside of the series to understand what's going on. Oh, whoops, you know what? Actually, you do need to pick up that issue of Wonder Woman or Action or whatever it was.
Yeah, that really pissed me off when they did that.
It pissed off a lot of people. And I think
you come back in between, it was the OMAX series, and you come back and they're like, all this crap happened, and I'm like, what? You know? So, yeah.
The dogs are scratching.
Yeah. You okay there, Moya? You okay, Moya? I'm talking to the dog. You okay?
Okay.
And she's coming in here now. Okay, good dog.
What did she think of the issue?
She didn't like it either. She tried to eat it.
Oh, regurged it. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, give me Stewart in the arc pretty much anywhere, and I'm good with that. I've seen it mentioned elsewhere online, but an interesting choice of representatives for the X-Men for Namor and Magneto.
Yeah.
And interesting choices for the Avengers. I mean, granted, okay, I'll give them Iron Man, but the Thing.
There's somebody joking about that. There's nothing that brings back memories from my youth of Avengers and X-Men to see the Thing and Namor fighting.
Yeah, that's straight out of issue nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean that's a Fantastic Four moment, if anything.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean that was part of their gig in Fantastic Four, was those two were always sniping at each other.
Because he was always trying to steal Sue away, which looks like he's going after Emma. That was probably one of my, I don't know which comic I read it in. He was talking about Scott and the stuff he was doing. It was like in his brain, you know, and you know, he actually had some respect for Cyclops, and then he said, I'll have his woman, but that's a, you know, I'll have his woman anyway, but that's a, that's an honor in and of itself or something like that, you know.
Have your woman.
Cause you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Cyclops is letting her flirt with him and making him think that there's something going on just to keep him in line, because he's probably the most self-centered, arrogant character in the entire Marvel Universe.
Cyclops?
No, Namor.
Oh, Namor, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he thinks
thinks his poop doesn't stink.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And I think the only one probably would be Tony, but, you know.
See, I would have said Magneto, but
I don't think he's as arrogant as Stark is, but you never know.
True.
He doesn't have that. I mean, Namor's, just from what I've read during this thing, is Magneto doesn't seem to have that complex as much as Namor does.
Yes, Magneto would never poke the Hulk with a pin. So
exactly.
That's a different episode. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Sorry.
That was awesome. Awesome scene. I'm sure anybody that's seen the Avengers movie knows what we're talking about.
We're not allowed to talk about it because Murray has a crappy internet
connection. Oh, wait a minute. He just replied. He said we can talk about it.
Oh, well, screw him then. What an awesome movie.
We'll have a full episode about that later on in other comic book movies. Wanted to get all three of us in on that one. And we could plan better.
Yeah, fair enough. I just real quick side note. Watch Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol last night. Had Jeremy Renner in it. That's all I'll say about that.
It was okay. I mean, we saw that when it was out, and it had a lot of action in it, if not huge holes in the plot. But you know,
My wife is watching the original one with the girls right now as we talk. So, it was completely awesome. But I totally sidetracked it. Sorry, just the Jeremy Renner moment is like, oh yeah,
he's becoming quite big in the action movies.
He's not in the new Stallone thing.
No, but he they're.
Thor is.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
Expendables. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Matt Damon didn't want to do the Bourne Identity movies anymore.
Oh, so, Jeremy Rayner, the new Bourne?
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't know that. So they're not using the Jason Bourne character anymore. They're just going to have another character that they created that was also in the program, and then they're just going to make movies about that character.
Yeah, there's a whole – I mean, it's part of the books. I mean, he's written other characters. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't read all those because I know the guy died and they had somebody else – the family let somebody else write some of those books. So that's probably where that came from. So,
yeah, Ludlum had other
characters?
Yeah, they didn't all get killed by Jason Bourne.
Okay. All right.
So, sorry.
No, that's fine. But anyway, that all ties in.
Crap, I may have to consider this Bourne Legacy movie now. Damn it.
Those movies were good. I really liked them.
Oh, I love them. I love them. But I was like, no, Matt Damon made them for us. But, shit. Okay.
So anyway, what else?
So I don't know. I was, again, Jimmy Stewart Immerman on art. Mm-hmm. Catherine Immerman has actually turned out to be a very decent writer. I mean, clearly she got her first gig because she's Immerman's wife, but she has earned she's earned her spot.
Nothing's wrong with nepotism.
Nada. I could have done 100% without the all the pseudoscience crap that was going on in the Iron Man versus Magneto story.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it was needed because there was no way that a man dressed in a suit of armor was going to beat a guy who controls magnetism. Mm-hmm. But I was irritated at the end of each one of them where they gave the win to the Avengers characters, mm-hmm. but in the background, the X-Men character is like on the move again. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What? How is this a win? They didn't, you know, it's not like X-Men versus, DC versus Marvel where the character was unconscious. Mm-hmm. Or how is that a win?
I don't know.
Okay.
The bottom line is you can skip this series completely and not miss anything, I think. Now, what, you know, it's very possible what Caleb said could happen and there might be something in there. But the way they present it, at least in the first issue, is that this has nothing to do with continuity. We're just going to have characters fight. So, there you go.
And I could be wrong, and I hope I am. I hope they say, and I hope they're really good about the 600 crossovers that are coming through this thing, not being necessary to understanding and enjoying the regular 12 issue or whatever, I guess 12 and a half issues of the regular book.
Mm-hmm.
So. Wasn't there supposed to be an issue out this – whatever. Sorry. I thought it was going to be bi-week or every week there was going to be a new issue. But
yeah, I did too. I thought this was going to come out again. But let me see what's coming out real quick. Next up, while I'm clicking, you got –
There have been some crossovers, and I've read
– Yeah.
I've read two of them.
Okay. Next week – AVX number 4 and Versus number 2 both come out.
They did screw up on shipping.
Yeah.
So they were supposed to be, you know, week, you know, one after
alternating
another.
Alternating weeks. Yeah.
Somebody messed up.
Let's see. What else? What else? What else? Yeah. Okay. all right. Now, they had an AVX happen. In this Versus, they had Namor and Thing fight. Well, it looks like next week Uncanny X-Men number 12 comes out, and they're going to fight again.
Yeah. Hmm.
So that's good. Now, I still don't remember. Sheesh. I don't remember what we talked about last time. We had an Uncanny X-Men and 11, Red Hulk, and Colossus fought. And I'd see what happens when Colossus loses his temper and that Thing takes over. I'm sure we talked about that.
The gem of Citra's...
Yeah, he's like holding the juggernaut demon, whatever that is. But okay, moving on. And this one, you, I remember you posted on Facebook. I don't know if that comment's still there or not, but New Avengers number 25, remember you asking, what happened here? Well...
was that the Iron Fist issue?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One or part two of the Iron Fist? Okay, whatever.
Well, what they did was is set up a background. Now, if you've read any of the Iron Man, the Iron Fist series that came out a couple years ago, however many years ago that was, the one Marvel title that I was reading that I actually liked and that they, of course, canceled later on. This is kind of like in the past, way in the past. And then there was a comment that they hadn't had an Iron Fist in 25 years. And the head of Kunlun, the great mystic, often disappearing city, is having dreams about a redhead and a phoenix being an Iron Fist. So they actually track a girl down you know, of course, most of the people there are Chinese, but apparently she came with them with the last pilgrimage from Earth. So they got this redhead, and there's a part in the Book of Iron Fist where it shows, you know, a redheaded Iron Fist, and it has something to do with the Phoenix, fighting the Phoenix, so that's going to tie in. Now, the next issue shows... on the cover, Danny Rand helping Hope escape somehow. So I haven't read that yet, but that ties into that. So that, I mean, it's more background to set up how Iron Fist is connected. So in a way, it's nothing, I guess, but to make the next issue mean anything, they had to do this one. So.
I guess it was 22.
The reason I bought it is because I'm a big Iron Fist fan. So.
Oh, I are you kidding? I have that whole series with the whole with his him having to fight all the characters, the Fat Cobra and the
God, yeah, that's a great book.
Secret daughter of the spiders or whatever their names were. I mean,
Bride of Nine Spiders.
Right, and I love, you know, the made-up...
Prince of Orphans.
Yeah, yeah, and the made-up kung fu moves that they would put in there, like Fist of Dragon Breath on a bad day with coffee.
Yeah, that was a great series. They might be hard to find, but they're all out in trade. And then there's that series they did with Immortal Weapons. I have that, too.
Right, and it was just pure fun, and, you know...
Which... I see a lot of that's going on in the Defenders, which making me want to get it.
It's actually really good in Defenders. It's a good. It's almost like the story that they kept saying, "Oh, Iron Fist will be back. I promise." It's on hiatus, and then of course it was canceled. But this is I think the story that Fraction wanted to tell. It's Fraction or Brubaker or whoever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
They're the same guy, I think. I think they're just, you never see him in the same place.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. We've uncovered a conspiracy here, people.
Yeah, or I've created one.
Yeah.
But it's a good sequel to that. So, yeah, definitely take the time. But in the New Avengers thing, Bendis has this uncanny ability to write 22 pages where nothing of substance happens.
Well, I can see where you could say that. To me, there was substance there that they're tying in the Iron Fist stuff with the Phoenix, but as for something actually happening, nobody was punched. Nobody got, you know, blown up. I can understand it.
Give me some credit, man. That's not what I mean. You know
no.
it.
No, it's, what do you mean?
Okay, so, okay, the point is, yes, that the Phoenix Force has something to do with the Iron Fist Force. Okay. Did we need 22 pages of that being repeated over and over? Oh, we're looking for a redheaded girl. Oh, by the way, we're looking for a redheaded girl. Oh, did you see a redheaded girl? Oh, isn't there a redheaded girl over there?
Yeah.
Oh, look, okay. There's a redheaded girl walking past.
I see what you're getting at. Yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean...
No, I didn't need to pay $4 for that.
No, it was a chapter in a book that he could have, I'll even give him, he could have told it in 5 or 6 pages. And then, you know, here comes Luke Cage breaking down a wall. Here comes, you know, Spider-Man telling everyone how sad he is or whatever. I don't know, whatever.
I hear you.
Bendis is the freaking king of saying nothing in a ton of space.
Mm-hmm.
Or very little. I'll grant you, yes, there was a point made. One point.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that. I see what you're saying.
Thank you. Phew!
Let me ask you one thing, though. Have you ever read any of Bendis' Powers stuff?
Not since the early years. I probably read maybe the first year, maybe the first 2 years. I don't know how long the death of that first one where they were trying to investigate.
Chaotic Chick. That crap. What the hell is her name? I know what you're talking about.
Something girl.
Retro girl.
Yeah. So good, great stuff. I absolutely great stuff. And in those, I guess maybe just because there's 1,000 panels on every page, something actually happens in every issue. Not a ton, I will grant that. And that's, I think that's his mode, though, is to, he loves his dialogue. He loves.
Well, he is a writer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm wondering, I'd like to ask the teacher of that comic class I took, because his big thing is I did the same thing in my first draft. I talked a lot more than the art, and that's because, you know, I'm a writer, and, well, one, I'm a writer, and two, I'd never done that before. So, you know, there was a lot of, you know, he says the first rule of comics is show, don't tell, but, you know.
Yeah, Bendis can get away with it, and
that's the thing, he can.
And when he first started with Powers and stuff, he already had a fairly decent Hollywood career rolling, so he could afford whatever he wanted. And if it didn't work out, fine. The comic book thing didn't work out. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go write a, you know, Grey's Anatomy script or whatever. And he could afford to do that. You know, you can't as someone who wants to break in. You're not financially a trillionaire.
No.
You do have a backup, as they say when kids go into college and want to be a basketball player. We'll have a backup, which is, you know, your day gig. This is your night gig.
Well, see, that's the thing. Writing is more like something I do for fun right now than actually an alternate career. So I haven't got to the point where I'm obsessed with writing yet. So mainly because I'm just lazy. Let's just be honest. That's what this podcast came from. I'm just too lazy to write blog posts, so I'll just talk and record it.
Talk for an hour, 2 hours, whatever.
Yeah, if somebody listens to it, fine. If they don't, fine. I don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
Once we're back in iTunes, people will listen to them. They will come.
Yes. Yeah, I'm still working on that. Hopefully this will be – by the end of the day, I'll have something figured out. Okay, let's move on.
So anyhow, I'm – beautiful issues to look at. Yeah. At least the first new Avengers, Avengers 24, I think it was really lovely to look at. The art was –
25, actually.
25, okay. Yeah. So it was great. It was great to look at, but it was – $4.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
So.
Now that we have a Kindle Fire in the house.
Let's see here. Okay, next up. Secret Avengers number 26. They're not so secret, though, I don't think. Hold on.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. Oh. Crap.
Dog, this is Zutai.
Dog come in here in front of the fan and kicked up all kinds of crap. Okay. Secret Avengers number 26. This was, if you remember from the main title, Captain divvied up some teams and he sent some to go fight the Phoenix. And we got Thor, Ms. Marvel, Beast, Protector, War Machine, Valkyrie, Vision, and Captain Britain. The art to me, and who did the art on this? Renato Guedes. Rick Remender is the writer. The art was just crappy in this book. I'm sorry. Not that I could do any better. It was just, it's just, I don't know.
This very is, static. I'm looking at some preview stuff, and it doesn't move very well. It's very odd looking for a superhero book.
It looks more like a painting than you know. But anyway, there's a lot of, you know, seriousness here. They're calling this a suicide mission to fight the Phoenix, which I think this is really futile personally, but, you know, whatever. Captain, it was the JLA Avengers thing that Kurt Busiek made the comment on how the Marvel Universe heroes and the DC heroes look at a threat. And this is a perfect example of it. He said that the DC heroes, they stop and they think about it and try a way to figure it out. The Marvel heroes, they get a big stick and they try to beat the crap out of it. That's paraphrasing, of course. But this is a perfect example of it right here. Don't you agree?
Well, I haven't read it, but I'm –
this book, Secret Avengers?
No, I haven't read it. I'm looking at a short little preview.
Yeah, but basically what they do, Beast figures out some kind of thing from his previous experience with it, the Phoenix Force, some kind of device that's supposed to absorb the energy. And meanwhile, you see a bunch of Kree doing some funky stuff with the Imkran crystal, which, you know, X-Men fans will recognize that. But basically, they've had Captain Marvel, the original one, his body, and they do something to it, and they bring him back with them, give him those bands that he had before.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. Pretty much that's what happens. They bring him back. But anyway, those two things are going on, and you got all of them, some of them in spacesuits, some not, depending, you know, War Machine's out there, and he's got this thing on him, and they're going and facing down the Phoenix, and they, you know, their little thing doesn't quite work. War Machine gets badly hurt trying to do that. Captain Britain is an idiot, and apparently I think he's got a death wish. That's what they're thinking. He takes the device from War Machine, tries to go in there by himself, and gets his butt handed to him as well, and destroys the device, which is even worse. So then they show the Kree doing their funky thing, and that diverts the Phoenix Force away and keeps from massacring them. But yeah, they use the Phoenix Force energy going across their device to. That's what brings Captain Marvel back to life. Which they're controlled by them, I think. And then, of course, if in the main book, I think it was, you see the Protector getting a thing from the Supreme Intelligence saying that, you know, the Phoenix Force is supposed to do what it's ever it wants to do, and, you know, we don't want to stop it. You know, so Avengers must be destroyed, and then, or whatever. So you see the last couple of scenes, you see the Protector and Miss Marvel talking, and they feel their Kree blood pulling them home or some stuff like that. So basically, they both say, yeah, Carol says to Protector, we must ensure nothing stops the Phoenix by any means. And then off to the side, you see, I'm glad to hear you say that, Carol. And then you see Captain Marvel in his, like, green outfit with some kind of bands on. He says, if we are to succeed, I'll need your help. If we are to succeed, we must kill the Avengers, big red letters. And then it says, to be continued.
Kill the Avengers. Okay, so... Mm-hmm. Couple problems I have just with your in the description you have and with what I've seen here, and I said this before, the Phoenix Force wasn't originally independent; it had to be tied to somebody,
right?
And in this, it's clearly it's off on its own. So Why does it need? I'm confused.
It doesn't look like it. It looks like, from what I'm seeing, it's just like going through like a wild animal, and if a planet comes in its path, it just kills everybody that's on it. That's what it seems to me.
Yeah, I'm wondering what, if that's the case. Why does it need a host?
I'm not sure. Something has changed with the Phoenix's mythos somewhere by the time I last saw it and now, you know, because for a while, and they even talk about that in I don't remember which one it was. It was probably maybe in round three where they talked, you know, Rachel was with the Starjammers out in space, and she had the Phoenix Force. And she's, according to her, she says it can be controlled. So she kind of goes against Wolverine, you know.
Hopefully they explain it. Hopefully it's not one of those glaring plot holes by the end of this.
Real quick aside,
anyone listening here would think that we're not liking this. And the fact of the matter is, I think we are. At least I am.
The fact that I'm buying all that extra crap, I mean, I'll be completely honest. My comic book budget was blown to hell, and, you know, and I had to borrow some more for my allowance. I got my allowance to buy all the stuff, so.
Did you wash the car?
Oh, man, I tell you. Don't even get started.
Get your $5. Wait a minute.
Did some dishes.
$5 used to be five comics. Now it's one.
But I eventually it ended up me renegotiating what my allowance is. So I got a raise for the first time in quite a while with my allowance. So that was a good thing.
Wow. How nice of Mrs. Mosby.
Yeah, she's a peach, let me tell you.
She is. She's a pip. I bet you had to give up something like Dr. Pepper or something for that.
No, she realized that, you know, prices have gone up and it's been a while since I had a raise, so I didn't have to fight for it as hard as I thought I was going to. So it worked out pretty well.
There will be retribution.
I'm sure.
So with Secret Avengers, we get what looks like to be actually some forward momentum plot wise and a couple of interesting points.
Because they do – the Protector thing – the thing about Protector is actually mentioned in the main book, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I wouldn't say that if you don't read this, you're going to miss something, but it certainly does enhance the book. Because a lot of the ones I've read, it's been like, oh, well, this takes place 4 hours before that big battle in number two, and here's some thoughts from different characters about things that happened before that. That's what a lot of it has been.
There was a term that was coined back in 1985 or 1986 called a Red Sky issue. When Crisis was going on, and they would promote a book as being tied into Crisis, and the fact of the matter is the only thing that tied it into it was that the sky was red, which was a plot device that Crisis used. And for my money, the New Avengers issue was maybe not a red sky, but certainly a pink sky issue.
Yeah, I could go with that.
Whereas it seems like the Secret Avengers, it may actually, you know, if not necessarily be mandatory reading to understand, So stuff happens, and it's not just, hey, we're gonna put the banner across the cover. It actually does tie in pretty tightly.
Yeah, I think so, because you see him divvying his teams up, and they do go, you know, do their thing, and all these others I'm looking at, like the New Avengers number 24, was a before it went down issue. You know, talking different points of view. Avengers number 25 was the same thing. Uncanny X-Men was basically a spotlight on one particular battle that happened. Wolverine and the X-Men number 9. Uncanny X-Men number 11.
Wolverine and the X-Men number 9 was a Red Sky issue. If there ever was one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You definitely did not need to read that.
No. Nothing in it. The only thing that happens in it is something we already had seen two or three other times in other books.
Yeah, and that might be – then I'm sure they're doing that for people that are already reading that title but haven't made the decided to read AVX. Yeah. Okay, maybe I should read this, you know. Okay, so next up is so far my favorite issue to date, and we'll get to why. AVX number 3, round 3. Woo! And I love the standard a whole bunch of heroes running to face off a whole bunch of other heroes things right there on the front cover, a little picture there. Kind of gives you an idea. Yep. So shows them there. And the first page we get, which I can't imagine what the augmented reality picture of Wolverine with barely any skin on, you know, him waking up. Though I do have to admit, they did a really good job of showing his healing factor, because, like, you can see the progress of him healing through panel to panel.
Oh yeah, Romita Jr. is oh, definitely yeah.
He's awesome.
He's a pro.
He's one of my favorite artists for sure. I stuck with Spider-Man a long time back in the day because of his art. You know, he's like remembering stuff. The Spidey and him talking together. That's because I know he's like they're like buddies in the New Avengers. I think, aren't they?
Which Wolverine and Spider-Man?
Yeah.
They bonded, if anything. I don't know. Again, I haven't read that. The first issue I've read in about 4 or 5 months of New Avengers was that Iron Fist one. So.
Yeah, it seems like one of the post Brand New Day trades I had a issue where Wolverine shows up, and you could tell they're like had bonded in that other comic. So I think they even had a comic with just the two of them in it for a while. That was okay. Completely out of continuity, but I don't remember what it was called. But then you see that all of a sudden Cyclops has surrendered, which Wolverine immediately knows is a ruse, and I thought it was awesome because when you get right back down to it, Elenia beat Doctor Strange in magical combat. That's the only way that could have happened.
Well, she had they were in limbo, and Ileana just
yeah, she's the Sorcerer Supreme of that dimension. So
yeah, that's her place. Mm-hmm. He was screwed the moment he showed up there.
Yeah, it was arrogant of him to even try.
Yeah, real quick back to the beginning of the book. If we're gonna read this kind of in order, I liked at the page that shows all the characters that are gonna be in it. And there's that right in the middle. You know, there's always that line. And in the first issue, I think they showed Beast and Wolverine and Storm on that line, and then they showed just Beast and Wolverine.
Oh,
and
that, yeah.
And now it's just Wolverine, kind of, which he's straddling between the two teams.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I think that's a nice touch.
Yes, and Hope's box is red.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Look at that.
So, okay, now here's something I didn't really notice before. And I was looking through one of the ones I haven't read yet, but there's a new angel, apparently. Some kid with wings.
Yeah, it's Warren Worthington. He became Apocalypse over in X-Force for a little while.
Then
was killed, but was resurrected using what's called a life seed. and so he's been reborn. And so
let's see. That just leaves Cyclops that hasn't been born and returned.
That's right. Well, apparently he's going to be pretty. They're setting up that he's going to be pretty darn powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And in this Genesis character is like a.
It's Apocalypse.
The same thing.
No, he is Apocalypse.
Genesis is Apocalypse.
Yes. See what you miss when you don't read X-Force?
Oh, man. Oh, I haven't. Oh, God. You know, there's a part of me that wants to get back into it, all that, and there's a part of me that don't. You know what I'm saying?
Don't. It's like reading, you know.
Well, I miss the X-Men. I'll be the first one to admit that. I really do miss all that stuff. And I'd like to know how, you know, the whole stuff with Namor came on and, you know, the whole M extinction thing and all that stuff. But I've got trades of different things that I pick up when I see them for like really cheap. And one of these days I'm going to read through them. Of course, I have that X-Men 40 years of X-Men DVD they put out before Marvel started doing digitally. So I've got a good part of it already, just in PDF format. It's a pain to read through, but I'm not.
My God, there's a ton of reasons why all that stuff is going on. Whatever, it's
yeah. X-Men's, well, I know what the background. I just don't know the details. You know why Scarlet Witch is so hated and why the mutants and all that stuff. But anyway, so back to that. You find out that they were fooling them that they had surrendered. So they teleport away, Wolverine is his snarly self, and even make, you know, yeah, it's a, there's a scene behind him, and even looks like Captain America standing there with his head hanging, like, I'm sorry, Wolverine.
Okay, so here's a continuity problem for me.
Okay,
they show in the previous issues that there's like 50 X-Men. Mm-hmm. Hell, in that inside the cover thing, they show
24
mm-hmm. characters, including Hope. So, and they all were fighting. They were all fighting. Then they're, oh, we beat you guys. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, we teleported away. Well, in the teleport disc, mm-hmm. there's 10 characters.
Right, which what I think happened is they used that ruse to let the rest of them get away somehow.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking, and those were the ones that were really standing there, because the Doctor Strange that was holding Elena or Magic was actually Doctor Strange being held by her.
Right.
So you know that's the same kind of deal. Danger. Let's see, because all you see is Magneto, Cyclops, White Witch, Magic, Colossus / Juggernaut, Namor, Storm, and Danger. And the rest of them were all fakes.
Hopefully we get a
yeah.
Anyhow.
So they're talking about their plans. Next thing you know, you see Hope in some kind of tech place, and she's building something for her on her arm, which we discover later is used to bounce her signal around. Yeah, this is the thing here. You see Wolverine talking to Rachel, and you know she's telling him he's in five places at once, and I can tell you where those are at. And it's like she's using something, it bugs me. Now I'm a big fan of this Rachel character. The people that forget, she's from the future, and she was forced to be a hound that hunted down mutants, and Wolverine's basically making her do that exact same thing. That's why I think she, you know, kind of faked a headache. Because as soon as she's offline with them, she sends a telepathic thing to Scott and tells her where she tells him where he really is. I don't think the people at the school are going to be real happy with him after this is all over.
Well, he answers for that. Wolverine answers for that in Wolverine the X-Men number 9. He makes his peace.
Oh, does he? I've got that. I haven't read that yet.
He, you know, and they all understand that Wolverine doesn't make bad choices. Is one of those things that we have to accept in the Marvel universe, that he's always right.
I don't even like Wolverine right now.
Okay.
Which part of that has to do is how much they use him. That used to be one of my favorite characters, but the way he's acting in this, I just totally disagree. But anyway, so she's helping them.
There's a cover coming up for Avengers versus X-Men. I don't know, one of the fighting issues
mm-hmm.
where he's fighting Captain America. So
that was the cover to this one.
I thought there was another.
There might be, yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, he's going to switch sides or something.
That reminds me, I need to make my comic order for the comic shop. A little side thing. Sorry about that. Anyway.
Quickly.
So you see the team. Yeah, this is where they split up again. Send in some to Wundagore Mountain, some to Tabula Rasa, which I have no idea what that is.
That's from X-Force.
Is it? Okay. You got Black Panther and Iron Fist will take Wakanda, which that should be fun. Spider-Man and Spider-Woman will look in Latveria, and his squad will recon the Savage Land. And he says, Logan, you're with me. And here comes my favorite part of this whole entire thing. So they're on there and they're arguing, and he doesn't think, Wolverine's under control. You don't follow orders, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't trust you. And then he punches him in the face, which is just awesome. So then they start fighting. And, even Cap is good. He's a little outmatched because of the claws. Wolverine cuts the strap, which I thought was a brilliant tactical move on his part.
Oh, of the shield? Yeah.
Yeah, the strap on the shield. So he can't use it as effectively. And he's almost got him beat. And then, I guess it's kind of a tie, really. And then Giant Man comes in and smacks him upside the head. And then Wolverine hits him again with the shield. And then he has Sharon open the hatch, and it kicks him out of the airplane. And I think I actually cheered a little bit out loud when it happened. Good thing I was at home when I read it. Because they kicked his ass, sort of. Captain is not in a good shape, but they kicked him out over the Arctic, and then they decided to go to the Savage Land. So Wolverine's out by himself in the snow, and, he can handle the wilderness, so he's left by himself. So.
And Captain America knows that. He's not a doofus. But
no, he didn't. That's one of the things he had problems with, was him trying to kill Hope. He doesn't want to deal with it that way.
Right.
Which Hope, so I think I remember seeing that early in one of those new series, that she told him if it gets out of hand, that's always the thing they do for added drama.
If I ever go over the dark side,
yeah,
kill me. It's like in Aliens. If one of those things gets in me, you'll kill me, right, Hudson?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't do that. I would say, if I ever turned bad like that, I'd say just run. That's what I'd say.
Evil Mosby.
So, anyway, missed that came out this week, X-Men Legacy, which I don't think that really has anything to do with it.
It's got some cool character moments. I have it. I haven't read it yet. Mm. It's a talky issue, but it's got, freaking Falcon in it, who's also a mutant, by the way.
Oh, Falcon's a mutant now?
No, well, he's always been a mutant. He was the first. He was the first black mutant.
What is the Earth. Talking with birds part? Is
talking with birds? Part? Yep.
Well, I never heard him classified as such.
He was classified. I don't remember when exactly it was, but he was classified as a mutant.
Hmm. Interesting. So,
yes, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, to continuity. But it's got She-Hulk in it. It's got
I'd like to see her and Rogue go. Fight. I don't know. They didn't have a copy of it at the shop because I got everything else. Because I have New Avengers number 26 still to read, and Wolverine and the X-Men number 10. I think that was all. That and the Legacy. That's all that came out of that. So let's see. How are we doing? Doing good? Oh well, yeah. Okay. Let's make it. Let me just a little aside of the Avengers versus X-Men thing and talk about the little crossover between Avengers Spider-Man, the Punisher, and Daredevil number 11, which is supposed to be this, story, which I was just looking forward to, is Mark Waid and Greg Rucka talking about that drive that Daredevil has, right?
The Omega Drive.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be the Omega Effect was the name of the crossover. And let me tell you, I was incredibly disappointed in that.
Nothing happened.
No, it didn't. It was resolved at all. The Punisher issue, which really surprised me, was the worst out of all of them. But looking at some I saw a preview of something when I was looking through websites. You know, that's going to come up. I think the very next one, that stuff's, they're going to start attacking him soon. So hopefully definitely it's a little better.
I didn't read the Punisher issue, and I haven't read Punisher since number one. Who's the chick?
Okay, in the very first episode, you see the wedding. The wedding, and all these people got killed. Well, she was the redhead. She didn't die.
Oh, she's Phoenix. Okay, I get it. All right.
She's not Phoenix.
Oh, she's not Phoenix. Oh, she's a different redhead. Okay.
Yeah. She was a she was a Marine, and she was marrying her husband, who was a doctor. Well, she survived, so she's basically a female version of the Punisher. And they ended up teaming up for this, but she turned. She tried to take the drive for herself.
Yeah, that happened in this. I think it was Daredevil, but was it? Yeah.
But he talks her out of it. He talks her out of it in the Punisher issue.
Okay, well,
that's basically what happened. There's a big fight, and you know, he talks her out of it. He gets it back, and then it's right back to, you know. So anyway.
And Matt Murdock's got it back, and it's he's back to fighting the five families, and it's it's the Godfather all over again. Okay.
Yeah, basically, she shoots him in the back with rubber bullets.
Huh.
And that's why in the issue of Daredevil, you see him down in the middle of all those Hydra. Huh. Getting his, you know, because she shot him in the back with the bullets and took the drive.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what the point of that whole crossover was. It didn't add anything to the Omega Drive story.
I don't know. I really don't know. They thought maybe that, you know, that was big enough that we should have some kind of thing with Spider-Man and the Punisher, because you know they're going to find out about something like that. And they, you know, what's their take on it? And it ends up, they just, okay, you deal with it how you want to. That's pretty much all that came out of it. I was really disappointed in that.
Yep. Not the best issue of Daredevil to come out of this.
No. And the more I read Punisher, the more I think Rucka is just doing it to draw a paycheck. I don't think he, because I've been reading it all through, and you know, this is the guy that really put the origin in on a Batwoman, and he was supposed to quit. You know, he quit doing DC stuff to do his own, create her own stuff. And as far as I know, this is the only comic that he's doing for either of the two that's not his own, and it's like I'm really close to dropping it, because it just I've got number 11 I haven't read yet, I think somewhere. Yeah, here it is.
You know my rule. You know my rule. If I have two issues that I haven't read,
well, I just bought it. Just
a third issue. And a third issue is coming out. I'm done.
Yeah.
I just don't have time to, you know, sit and go, okay, I'm going to read 20 comics today. I'm not, yeah. I'm not John. I'm not Murray.
It's just like he's phoning it in, and that's probably going to be the ones I cut so I can afford some of this other stuff.
There's a lot of new stuff. All the new 52s coming out.
Yeah, those are all good. I'm probably not going to keep Dial H, though. That's a little.
That was weird.
It was weird. Yeah, it's a little too, you know, well, we've all know I'm not a dark, depends on what it is, but G.I. Combat, I don't have any interest in that at all.
Didn't read it yet. I have it, but I haven't read it yet.
I read it, I just don't have any interest in it.
Okay.
Not even the Unknown Soldier backup story. Okay. And I have, a lot of this stuff, I have a problem with $4, $3.99 comics. I don't care how much story it's got. It's really got to be good to keep me in. That G.I. Combat is not.
And we need to read all six of these, because we should discuss them.
We'll do that.
Okay. I need to catch up. I haven't read G.I. Combat, and I haven't read Dial H was the other one I hadn't read, but I finally got an opportunity to, so.
That's what we can talk about. Yeah, because there's some I'm thinking about dropping, because they're just they're okay books. They're not awesome books like Batman and usually Daredevil is one, but you know, that's $2.99, and there's a couple of those on that list that are okay books that have jumped up to have a backup story, and like Detective. And that backup story was just crap, in my opinion. So...
haven't read it, probably won't read it. Detective is not on my to-buy list.
Yeah, so. Well, it's a Batman title, so you know how that goes.
You're our man in the bat.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be going to pick up the one with that Horowitz guy that's coming up, if it's any good.
Oh, that's right. He's going to take over. The guy who did Penguin. Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's going to do Dark Knight. The one that Finch was doing that was just ridiculous. But anyway, I think we've covered this stuff pretty good.
We have. So the verdict on Avengers versus X-Men
yes.
right now is, for me, it's definitely a wait and see. I saw this solicit art where there's no more Avengers coming up.
Yeah, and, that's the second half or Act Two, as they call it.
So it kind of has a flashpoint. I'm feeling a flashpoint esque take coming up here.
They've been hitting it on that for a while, that this might be their thing to wipe the slate clean.
I think that it goes against 50 years of conventional thinking from Marvel, which is there is no reboot to continuity.
Yeah.
But I think that they may have seen the light.
Mm-hmm.
Or if nothing else, it gives them an opportunity to restart any continuity that they feel like restarting, kind of like how they didn't restart Batman and Green Lantern
right.
over DC because they sold well. This may give them an opportunity to say, you know what, there is just too much garbage lying around. It's time to sweep it all up, send most of it to the dump, and we'll keep the Wolverine and Captain America stuff or something, you know,
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
selling well for them.
Yeah, I agree.
But it looks like, the solicit art makes it look like, oh, there's a utopia world going on here, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a wait and see. I'm not passing judgment yet. A couple of Red Sky issues have come out on this thing. A couple of very decent crossover issues, and just some fun blow 'em up shit over in whatever it's called, Avengers versus X-Men. I don't know. I didn't know the mm-hmm. difference, but. We'll see. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, you're right. We'll see.
Okay. No, I thought we'd lost you there for a second.
No, I was just thinking about it all.
Taking it all in. Oh.
Yes, taking it all in.
I'm still of the opinion that Hope being the Phoenix is a red herring.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Or they could just say, you know what? We all expected it. There you go.
Because isn't her power to borrow powers from others?
Yeah.
Other mutants? So anybody there, she could have got that from.
Yep. She could have gotten it from Iron Fist. I don't. Or maybe she can just borrow from mutants. I think.
Yeah, it's only mutants.
Yeah. Oh, she's going to start talking to birds soon. Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, that with what you just told me, that just threw me for a loop. you know, and I'm still getting over the fact that Namor is part of the X-Men. That just still blows my mind.
Well, he is the first mutant.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, I never in a million years would have thought that they did that. That's why I want to read that story. It's like, how in the world did they get involved with each other? You know, just because he's a mutant doesn't mean he's gonna throw in with them, but. He's so arrogant. I don't know. Jeez.
A lot of type A personalities on the X-Men right now.
Oh, yes. The Extinction Team, which I just love that.
Very, very...
I'd like to touch where Cyclops has got a PR agent and put that thing out saying, you know, we almost destroyed the world here. Be glad that we're not as bad as you think we are, you know. What issue that was, but
yeah, they've had a PR person on staff since the reboot of
yeah, I remember that now.
When they first moved to San Francisco back, I don't know, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's been one of those real world touches that they've thrown into the book.
It's actually a good idea, really. It makes it more realistic.
Sure.
As far as, you know, people with I-beams go. But, you know.
Wait, you don't believe people can shoot? No.
Well,
yeah. I guess I don't either.
You know? Yeah, well, you know, whatever. I'm one of those I got to see it to believe it kind of people, you know.
I'll tell you right now. I want to talk about Avengers the movie, but fine, we'll give Murray.
We were already into it. So hi, maybe we'll do another issue early or a podcast early or something, and hopefully, I actually have a feed for people to download it for.
All right. Hey, they're gonna get overload. That's cool.
Okay.
All right. Have we talked this out?
I think we have. Yeah, we've covered it. We have covered it. Maybe I'll get to see the movie again before then too.
I'm debating it. I'm seriously debating it.
Yeah. Yeah. Even my wife said she'd see it again. Oh, my mom called last night. They just got through. Mom and Dad just got through seeing it. She loved it. She wants to go see it again too. So.
Oh.
But you know, considering they're the people that kept me, you know, they're the ones that took me to the comic shop before I could read. That's not really that big surprise, so that they would love it. So.
Well, it will be on DVD and Blu-ray, I think, by Thanksgiving. So.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. So, and it did help watching all those other movies before we went to see it, at least for me, anyway. So, little pick up the little nuances.
God, I still can't believe you did that, but whatever.
Yeah, it was fun. I didn't get through all of Captain America, though.
And you watched the Ed Norton Hulk, is that right?
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, which is good.
There was a lot more stuff in there than you think. You know, watching, because they talked a lot about the super soldier serum and all that stuff in there. And that's how the Abomination came along, was that super soldier serum.
Now, did you watch the Ang Lee Hulk as well, or just the Ed Norton one?
Just the Ed Norton one. That other one didn't happen. That's what they said when they're going to make the one with Ed Norton, and it's like, And I think that's really crap that they've done it with the Spider-Man movies, because those are really good. Well, except for the third one, but you know, and they're doing the same thing. You know, the Amazing Spider-Man, and I'm just not. You know, they're redoing the origin, and a lot of the scenes I've seen of that, he barely has his mask on, this actor. So, I don't know.
Well, in Captain America, he barely had his mask. He didn't get the mask until almost halfway through the movie.
Yeah, but I don't know. He never really did try to hide his identity. He was running around on tour doing that little dance number for how long before that? So
true. And he did run around. And then initially, his first thing was to run out into the streets of New York and mm-hmm. try and catch the saboteur.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, you're a bold man. I couldn't do, what is it, 10 hours of that?
Close, yeah.
It's like those people who watched all of the special edition versions of Lord of the Rings back to back to back.
Oh, I've done that once.
Oh, my gosh. That's 12 straight hours.
Yeah, that was something. I had to space it over 3 weekends, though. I didn't do it all at once. But I think we did do that one. We watched 2 of them anyway.
Wow. Of the special edition ones?
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had all the DVD ones, and when they put them out on Blu-ray, I did it again, and they made those Blu-ray editions like they were starting from scratch. So it was even different, even more. It was like watching a new movie almost when they did those. So, yeah, I have the DVD extended editions, and I got a set with all the Blu-ray ones in it.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Agreed. I can see myself, at least on the Lord of the Rings ones, getting to that last segment mm-hmm. on Return of the King, where it's just, you know, they go back to Hobbiton or whatever, you know, to the Shire. It's like, oh my God, that was the most, you know.
Yeah, it was.
I'd turn it off. I'd be like, okay, I'm done.
That whole last part was a little. I mean, what was the movie we just watched that was the same way that they could have just. Open Range. With have you ever seen that movie?
With Costner and Duvall.
Man, you got to go see that. Okay, anybody that knows me and my friend Mike, that we work together, you watch that movie. I'm pretty much Duvall and he's Costner. That's exactly how we are around each other. We give each other crap constantly. But anyway, they do their thing and it's pretty much resolved. And then there's like a whole nother half hour after that, just like, oh, this is just awkward as hell. This movie should be over already. And it was just like that Lord of the Rings.
It's like the first hour and a half of Titanic. No,
I've never seen that, and I won't ever.
Get to the boat. Get to the boat, and you're good. Or as the song goes, get to the fucking monkey.
Oh, explicit tag.
Oh, it was already on there.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the new King Kong, the remake that Peter Jackson did?
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay, so there's, you know, it's like we tried to watch it, but we got like 45 minutes in this movie, and we still hadn't seen the monkey. And I'm like, okay, we're done. And I'm watching on, I think it was YouTube or something like that, and there's this comedy troupe that does music, and they actually do a song called Get to the Fucking Monkey. And it's all of – and that's the premise of the song is that, you know, okay.
That's funny.
Just get to the point. They do that in a lot. They talk about a bunch of different movies, like Titanic is another one. It's like, all we really want to see is the boat sinking, so get to it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. That's awesome. So
the term was – the coin called Get to the Fucking Monkey.
That's awesome.
And now I've said that, what, 3 times now?
Yeah, you have. That's great.
Okay, sorry, man.
That's all right. It doesn't matter.
All right, I'm done.
The feed is working, I don't even know if anybody's going to get to listen to this unless they download it.
Don't say that. Just get – we'll get back on iTunes.
It'll yeah, okay. Have... All right, we will. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it for us. Yeah, if you're listening to this episode, then I've magically fixed the feed. Or you downloaded it manually, which is an option, from the actual website. There are people that do that, I've found.
Good.
Let's see. So, yeah, you can send us your comments, hate mail or whatever else at podcast at talesfromthelogbox.com. You can catch us on our Facebook page. There might be something there to read because I'm not sure. The posts keep disappearing. So, you know. Set up emails to be sent because then you have at least an archive. There might be we might have to push to going to the other forums. I don't know if we'll be able to do that because everybody likes the Facebook page. But anyway, what else? You can go to the actual website and comment on the actual episodes, which may not have the episodes right now because, well, anyway, it's confusing. But I'm going to sort it out somehow. I don't know how.
It's technical.
Yes, it is a technical thing. But, you know, I'm going to figure it out one way or the other. But anyway, that's about it for this week. We will see you next time.
We will. Cool. Thanks.
And we're out.